أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لما المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
And now, the true light, featuring Al-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
Yes, Father, white people are the children of the devil.
A lot of people worry about the fact that Muslims call human beings devils, right? They're always saying that that's the wrong thing to do, to call a human being a devil. They say all men are created in God, blah, blah, blah. You know, look in your Bible to the book of St. John, chapter 6, verse 70. Let's say in the scriptures, let's find out. First, I want, before you read, I want you to tell me who's talking. Chapter 6, verse 70 of St. John. First, tell me who is talking. You got it?
Yeah.
Chapter 6, verse 70. Who's talking? It says what?
Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?
Jesus called a human being a devil. Why is it so difficult when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes along and tells y'all the white man is a devil, that people start saying, you can't call human beings devils? Y'all write in your Bible, y'all call somebody the devil. Jesus called Judas the devil. Read it again in case they missed it.
Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil.
Now stop telling us Muslims that we're wrong for calling human beings devils, because your Lord and Savior Jesus called a human being a devil. He called him a devil because his devilish works and his actions, and that he was a son of perdition, that he was going to betray him. You understand that? The white man has done everything to you that Judas has done to Jesus. Delivered you up to be killed, to be persecuted. He's crucified you. He's emasculated you. He's done everything that Judas did to Jesus. Lied on you, deceived you. He sits with you and eats and drinks with you, knowing he plans to stab you in the back. So don't be frightened when we call him a devil. He is the devil. He was the devil. He always will be the devil. Look at the Holy Quran, chapter 18:50. There's a Muslim who has this thing about worrying about the devil being a man.
18, chapter 50, right? And the book will be placed before them, and thou will see the guilty flow. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold, and will wear green garments of fine silk and heavy brocade, reclining therein upon rose couches. How good the reward, and how good, excellent the place of rest.
They call them the guilty there, and they're dressing these guilty up with things. They're making it clear that they're talking about some type of person or some kind of being. They're not talking about some type of spirit form. See what the Holy Quran, chapter 6, verse 113 says. فَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ Wait, right there. And thus did
we make for every prophet an enemy. The devils from among men and jinn.
Where are the devils coming from, according to the Quran? Where is the devil coming from?
Amongst the men.
Is it just a spirit force, or are there human devils and physical devils, according to the Holy Quran? The Holy Quran tells us that the prophets are opposed by these devils who are either human beings or jinn. Look at it right there.
And thus did we make for every prophet an enemy, the devils from among men and jinn.
That's right. It says Nabian, Aduin, Shaitanin, El Insan, Wajin. The Shaitan is coming from El Insan, Wajin. And if you read the Holy Quran in the beginning, when Rasulullah Muhammad is receiving it, and the angel Gabriel came to him, he told him to read the name of his sustainer, he used the word El Insan right there for human beings. Right? It's Rabbi Surabik Aladi Khalak. Khalak al Insan Amin Alak. Khalak al Insan Amin Alak. I created human beings from a thick cloth that is separated. Right here, he used the same term in the Holy Quran that is insan and jinn. So Shaitan is not just spiritual forces of jinn. Shaitan are also human beings. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. I don't know where they get their doctrine from. Read it again.
And thus did we make for every prophet an enemy, the devils from among men and jinn.
Go ahead and see what it say, though.
Some of them suggesting to others, vanish forthwith.
They use the Arabic word, yuhi. Some of them inspire others. You know what I'm saying? A lot of Muslims are inspired by jinns to do certain things and by devils in human form coming out of Saudi and Egypt and different places and calling themselves Muslims. They use the word for wahin, for inspiration. One of the ways that Rasulullah received the Holy Scriptures. The devil is using the same method to betray us. Go ahead, read it.
Some of them suggesting to others varnished falsehood to deceive them.
And this is what they did. These men come here and they take and varnish over the truth with falsehood. They cover all these hadith and all these things that are taking us away from the Holy Scriptures. When you start talking to them and say, please go to the Holy Quran, they say what the hadith says, or the Sahaba says. You say, please take me to the Holy Quran. Well, in the hadith it says, they've taken and painted over the laws of Allah. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us in the last revelation of the Quran now? The last revelation now is Surah An-Nas. The word nas is another form of al-insan again. This is talking to you people. He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul, a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Say this to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu bi rabbin nas. That they are to seek all of the protection. The rabbin nas. By way of the rabbin nas, the sustainer of al-insan. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he calls himself Malik al-Nas. He calls himself the ruler of all human beings. Then he says he is Ilah al-Nas. He is that which created all human beings. Then he tells you from who we should seek refuge. He says, Min sharr, from the wicked. Min sharr waswas, from the wicked whisperer. And he gives a name, Al-Khanas, the rejected or despised one. But the whispering one, what does he do? He comes and he suggests his thought. These pale arrows put in people's minds. Don't listen to Imam Isa. Don't listen to Louis Farrakhan. Don't listen to this one. And then they take it, they change the truth. They varnish it over. What do I mean by varnish it? Oh, you don't have to wear a beard. You don't have to wear a veil. You don't have to do this. But they got so bad that they tell you someone can go to Hajj for you. You can go to Mecca and be there, and some other person can perform the rites for you for some of. Because you don't speak the language and it's still qualified. If someone can perform the rites of Hajj for you, then someone can perform your salat for you and give zakat for you. For they belong in the same Khamsa Shahadati. These people are painted over. They're trying to destroy Al-Islam. Ilah al-Nas, the creator of the people. Min sharri waswasil khanas. From the whispering khanas. Allazi yuwaswi. Then he repeats it. Who? Allazi yuwaswi sufi. This one, he whispers fi suduri into your chest. He gets right inside of your chest. And then what? Suduri and nas. Minel jinati wen nas. The same thing you just read. Hear it again. Minel jinati wen nas. 6113 is separating the man and the jinn. And here in the Holy Quran, in the last revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leaving us with a warning to watch out for men that are jinn, coming propagating al-Islam, but have vanished over the truth. They don't want to follow Millah Ibrahim. You say Millah Ibrahim, you know what they say? So we follow what fools follow? They call the people of the Torah fools. The Quran says they're going to say that. Literally it says, when you go to them and say, have faith, amana billahi. Have the faith of those who are before you. They say, should we believe what fools believe in? Then Allah says, now they are the fools, but they don't even know it. Because they have led people off the Sirat al-Mustaqim. I just want to cover one more point, which is in Surah Al-Fatiha, so you'll understand Malik and why he calls himself Malik al-Nas, and why al-Nas is the last chapter in the Holy Quran today, and he used it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. He says right here, مالك يوم الدين. He calls himself مالك الناس in the last chapter, and in the first one he calls himself what? مالك يوم الدين. That he is going to be the master or the ruler on that day when people are judged. And most people are falling victim to the devil because they don't recognize him. They think the devil is, they don't think the devil as a man. They see the devil as some kind of a force. They see him as some wicked spirit. You go and tell them, the white man, the devil, you know what they say? Soldiers are the answers. They're just racist. They don't know what they're talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't create a human being as a devil. The Holy Quran says over and over again that he is the devil. Turn the Holy Quran to the second chapter, to the 14th verse. وَإِذَا لَقُلْ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَا وَإِذَا what? قَالُوا إِلَّا شَيْطَانِحِينَ. What's that? شَيْطَانِحِينَ. What is that? The word shaitan, single. بَهَشَيَاطِينِهِ, plural. Now how can there be more than one devil? Read your English. And when it is said to those, have faith, they say, what?
We have faith also.
We do have faith. Go ahead.
And when they are left alone with their physical devils,
plurally, when they're left with their devils, plurally,
they say to them, surely we are with you, and we are only ridiculing them.
وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَا وَإِذَا قَالُوا إِلَّا شَيَاطِينِهِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا مَعْكُمْ إنما نحن مستهزئون. What did he say? All we were doing to you people was mocking, making fun of you. But it says Allah يستهزئ به. Allah, he criticizes them and leaves them blindly running on, if you read number 15. What is it that these people fear? What is it that they are turning away from? I'll show you right in the same chapter. Holy Quran 2:130. What are they so afraid of? They're afraid of this simple practice. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ تَفَيْهِ نَفْسَهُ. Now what is that? And as for those who reject or forsake مِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, the religion of Abraham, what are they? They're nothing إِلَّا مَنْ تَفَيْهِ, nothing but fools. They're speaking about their whole spirit, or نَفْسَهُ. But they don't know it. Read what it says in English.
And as for him who turns away rejecting the law and the religion of Ibrahim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes a fool of himself. And indeed we have chosen him, Ibrahim, in this physical world, and verily in the last day, forever. He is of the perfectionist.
And was Abraham a Muslim? The next
yes.
verse tells you he was. You ain't got to say yes. Let the Quran say yes, he was a Muslim.
When his sustainer said to him, Ibrahim, surrendering in peace.
Listen. Aslimu, Aslimu, Salam, Salam, Muslim, Aslimu. Qalu, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. Abraham said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. Now I am a Muslim for the Lord of all the boundless universes. Aslamtu. The so-called Sunnis say we're crazy when we call ourselves Islamic Hebrews. Abraham was called Ibar or Ibra, Hebrew. And he was called a Muslim. The word Hebrew has nothing to do with what religion you belong to. It has to do with the act that was performed back in history. When they crossed the Tigris Euphrates Valley, they just don't know what they're talking about. They're being misled by people who are trying to keep them away from knowing who they really are. They don't want you to know who you are. Them pale Arabs are hooked up. Them Jews and all those people, they're all one family. They're hooked up to keep you down.
So,
Rasulullah said in the latter day, his ummah would come out. His community would come out. A nation of people that will join good, prevent evil, and kill those who cause turmoil. See, they knew this was going to happen. So they turned away from Abraham's religion and gave the people a new religion. It's called Muhammadism. They turned away from the Quran and started giving them more hadith and more traditions of men so they wouldn't stay close to the scriptures and see who these people really are. If you stay close to the scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that was he sent down, illa Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody can deceive you. You start getting the hadith and traditions of men, you have conflict of what's true, what's not true, what Muhammad said, what they heard he said, what he didn't object to. They get all this stuff with the Quran is min wain, min ayna. Al-Quran min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa qala fi al-Quran, surah al-Baqarah. Zalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. He said it. This scripture has no doubt. He's in the man of hadith having no doubt. He says this scripture has no doubt in it.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, brother.
So you're saying the devils could be spiritual and human beings?
I'm saying the devils thought you want to see different places. Isaiah 14, 16 tells you the devil is a man. Turn to it. I'll give you a whole bunch of quotes about the devil's nature. and I'll give you him as a spirit also. Isaiah 14:16.
They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that hath made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?
They're speaking about the devil, and what terminology they say, is this the what?
Is this the man that made the earth to tremble?
Now turn to 2 Thessalonians, and that's 2:3.
Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
That what of sin?
The man of sin be revealed.
The man of sin.
The son of perdition.
That's the devil again. Now when they want to speak of the devil as being a fallen angel, go to Job 1:6, I'll tell you about him there. Go to 2 Corinthians 11:14. Go to Revelation 9:11. And go to Matthew 25:41. And all of these will tell you about how he fell from grace, how Satan was a fallen angel.
The one in Job. Let me read the one in Job.
Please.
Now there was a day when the sons of Allah came to present themselves before the Sustainer, and Satan came also among them.
So therefore he was amongst the angels at this point, correct?
No.
So he did have a spiritual being. He can personify like angels, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. He sent the angel Gabriel to Mary as a basharan, as a human being. So the angel Gabriel is light at times, nor min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while insane at times. And he comes out as a human being at times with a body, a basharan. This is what Allah teaches us. He sent him as a man. Right?
And the Sustainer said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Sustainer and said, from going to and fro in the earth.
Where does Satan roam?
From to and fro in the
how
earth.
How did he get there? Revelation 12 will tell you how he got there. He was cast down out of heaven, and he was no place found for him in heaven anymore. So you'll be able to think the devil is roaming around from spiritual world. You better read Revelation 12:7. Read it.
12:7.
Start at 6 and come down.
Okay. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of Allah, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth.
And also in Matthew 25:41, they're going to speak about the devil, they're going to speak about him being cursed, and they're going to speak about him having angels being cast down again. And this is in Matthew's, one of Jesus' disciples. Read it.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.
And so the devil does have angels, and his angels, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 12:7, was cast out of heaven. So he was once a spiritual being who was cast down to earth. Satan was in the garden. Let's go to different titles of saints. What did he call? Ephesians 2:2 has some of his names. John 14:30. Ephesians 6:12. John 8:44. All these are different names of saints.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure, go ahead.
When Eve was deceived by the snake, can the devil transform himself to a snake, or was he speaking through the snake?
The devil can transform himself into a snake if he wanted to. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the devil being a deceiver in the scriptures, he's not talking about a serpent. He doesn't use the word shaitan there. He used the word higher, a living thing. All right, but the Christians turned that into the serpent because of the statement that's found in Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent, that's not the word for snake though, a living thing, was the most subtle. And then instead he removes his legs, and on his belly shall he go all the days of life, so people associate him with a snake. But obviously, if the Almighty had to remove Satan's legs, then he wasn't a snake. You see that? When he got cursed, it says he removed his legs, and on his belly shall he go all the days of his life. You don't have any snakes with legs. Now, scripturally, they say the serpent of the scriptures was a reptile and did have legs because snakes today have hips. But the present-day snake would not be identified with this in any kind of way. And the religion that they're following back there was Hinduism. And the Hindus to this very day still worship the cobra. It's one of their symbols, the snake.
So was it a snake that Eve was deceived by, or?
Read it. It says, now the serpent was more stubborn than any beast of the field. First of all, a snake is not a beast. reptile, and it doesn't roam the fields,
said, which the Lord Allah had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has Allah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Allah has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Allah does know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Snakes don't talk either, so they're using a symbol in the scripture to represent evil. Get it, don't they? So to answer your question, the devil can take any form he wants. He can come as a friend, he can come as a teacher, he can come as a hobby, he can come as a desire, he can come as a college grant, he can come as a student loan, he can come as many things. He has the power to take on many forms, but he has incarnated in the form of a man.
Next question.
Okay. This gentleman, this guy has been asking about a white man being a devil. The questions still haven't been answered. He's been answering saying, yes, it's a human being, but he's asking about the white.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me answer for you then.
Okay.
All right. Turn your book to Leviticus so we can find out. We can go to chapter 14 first and then go back to chapter 13 so we can see his complexion, the color of his skin, the color of his hair, and the color of his eyes.
Okay, we're in the 33rd verse, 14th chapter, the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, that's the 33rd verse, now we're in the 34th. When ye be coming to the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession.
Now, any verse from 13 will just about explain. First, we're establishing here that we're talking about a people called Canaanites, and that these people received a specific curse. And now we want to find out what kind of curse did the Almighty put on these people, and that's why we're in the books of Leviticus, the books of the law. The word Leviticus comes from the word Levi, or Levitical law, and these are laws given to the prophet Moses for the children of Israel. Right? Now, we go to the 13th chapter of Leviticus, we're going to find a whole lot of places where they speak about the color of their hair and everything. And they're going to call it that old leprosy.
Okay. Leviticus 13, 9th verse. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, they have turned to hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean.
If we want to see his blonde hair, let's go to 13:30. And it says blonde thin hair, so they don't mean black people who have the disease of leprosy, whose hair stays thick, even if they have white hair from that disease, lymphoma. This is, they say thin.
Then the priest shall see the plague, and, behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry scowl, even a leprosy upon the head of his beard.
Go to 36 of the same chapter. He's going to speak about blonde hair again.
Then the priest shall look on him, and, behold, if the scar be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for the yellow hair. He is unclean.
If you went to the Holy Quran, the 20th chapter, the 102nd verse, we're going to talk about the color of his eyes. Now, so far, we got several things established. The color of his skin, the color of his hair, and now let's get the color of his eyes. And then I'm going to show you who the family of the righteous is by color in the Song of Solomon.
Okay, 20th chapter, Quran, 102nd ayah, or verse. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. On the day when the trumpet shall be blown, and we will gather the guilty blue-eyed on that day.
So we discovered that this tribe of Canaan has got a curse put on them, and the curse resulted in several things. One, reading all of Leviticus, you find that they have various degrees of leprosy and disease, which resulted in their skin being bleached white, as well as their hair being blonde and thin, as well as the eyes being blue. Now, if we go to Genesis 9:25, we'll find out that this is right after the flood, and the family of Noah had just assembled themselves, because everybody up until that time was all one race, one family, because they got the names of father and son straight on down. And it does tell us that Adam was created just as well. We know that even historians or anthropologists today are saying that Adam and Eve was black. They're no longer disputing that they came out of Sudan and Africa and that they were black. So if Adam and Eve was originally black, then up until Noah's time, everybody on earth had to be black. But now where did the white race come from? That's the point. And how they become so devilish is another thing. Now, in here in Genesis chapter 9, verse 25, that James Cannon, who we spoke about in Leviticus as having the curse of leprosy, is mentioned as getting a curse. Go ahead.
And he said, "Cursed be Cannon. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren."
Now, even before Cannon was born, the Almighty Creator in chapter 9, verse 18, mentions to Noah about his sons, that one of his sons is going to be the father of Cannon before the incident took place. Read it.
And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan.
Now, why didn't they mention Japheth's sons and Shem's sons? They only mentioned one son, and that was the son, Canaan. And they said he was from Ham. Then later on in the same chapter, we'll go back down to chapter 9, verse 22.
Okay. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without.
Here they think about an incident that Ham did before Canaan was born in Genesis, but they add Canaan's name. Go ahead.
And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done unto him.
Which was Ham, his youngest son.
And he said, "Cursed be Canaan."
Why did he curse Canaan and not Ham? He should have cursed Ham. Ham violated. But he put the curse here on Canaan and said, "A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother." Right?
No.
And he did what? The other two sons.
Okay, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord of Allah of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant."
So he blessed one side of family, Shem, and cursed another side. The same thing that happened like in Genesis. One side, the Semitic people, we know as a historical fact, the white man tells you they migrated into Africa. We know that the Hamite people and the Cushite people migrated into Africa. We know historically that the Mesramites are the ancient Egyptians called Mithra, and they're in Africa. So if those seeds that were blessed went to Africa, then the seed that was cursed went somewhere else. They became known as the Canaanites, so the complexion of the devil, according to the Bible, who was cursed since the foundation of the world, was white skin in Leviticus, blue eyes in the Quran, blonde hair in Leviticus, coming out of the tribes of Canaan. And Canaan had many sons. If you trace their sons out through the Bible, the Amalekites, the Hevites, the Arkites, the Jebusites, you can trace them, you'll find that they roam throughout the world, and they're the ones that opposed the children of Israel throughout their sojourning. Now go to Songs of Solomon. Before I let you have the mic, just one more thing. Songs of Solomon, to find out what the side that was blessed looked like.
That's the one side one?
Yes.
"I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem."
What color did he make these people?
Black.
These are black people here. This is Solomon's people in Jerusalem, where the book was revealed in 1020 BCE. They called him black, and he identified him with a specific tribe of people. Who was that tribe of people he identified him with?
As the tenth of Kedah.
Who's the tribe of Kedah?
Seed of Ishmael from Abraham.
That's right. Hagar, Ishmael's son, which you can find throughout Genesis 15, 16, and 17. And he'll tell you about his son through Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael. And Ishmael gave birth to a second son named Kedah. And Hagar came from Egypt, so that we know the Egyptians are black. So that means the Mesramites, the Cushites, the Hamites, and the Shemites were all black people who had migrated over into Africa from Asia. So the white folks on the planet Earth are the cursed seed of Canaan, and we are the black seed. The Bible points out the complexion. The Bible points out the hair and the texture. The Bible points out the curse. When the Mormons said it about black people for centuries, it's okay. The Mormons were saying the same thing I'm saying, only they wasn't using those scriptural facts. They were saying the curse is on black people, and we got big lips because when we found out we had a curse, we stuck our lips out, our head napped up. Oh, but to read the Mormon doctrine, they were saying it about us. But now the truth is in.
I've ever heard, even Minister Farrakhan, Imam Isa teaches the importance of doing for self, just like Elijah taught us. Imam Isa also has his followers dressing in the garb of the prophet, like the Quran says.
I used to call myself a black Israelite Jew, because I thought I was from the tribe of Levi. Nobody could tell me different. And I finally read one of Imam Isa's books, and I found out that the Israelites never called themselves Jews. That they were all destroyed, except for the tribes of Judah and Dan. But in the Old Testament, the books of Moses, it does speak about Muhammad. And thanks to Elimam Isa, I now know that I'm an Ishmaelite and that we should follow all of the scriptures.
And now, let us return to our broadcast.
Okay. Now, you said about the blonde hair and the blue eyes. All white people don't have all that.
That's right, because they told Abraham, do not mix your seed with the Canaanites. The children of Israel mixed their blood in with these tribes. You today are mixing them, not you per se, but black people today are going to the village, seeking out these people and marrying and mixing and destroying our genes. The Holy Quran teaches us that Allah made us into tribes, and He made us into families, that we may ya'arafuna, we may know all about each other. He never intended us to mix our genes. If He did, He wouldn't have made people in various hues and colors. He made us in various hues and colors, He intended for us to mix. We mix our seeds with them. They spend fortunes trying to make white women attractive to black men, so we'll go integrate with them so they can absorb from us. One of their white brothers made a big mistake on television just this week. He admitted that y'all are superior. That's why they're on his case, not for what he said. What they're mad about is the fact that he said that y'all are superior. He said white people will never be able to match black scholastically. That's why the whites are mad at him. That's why he got fired, because he didn't say nothing. He tell the truth. Black men have stronger legs because they were bred to be slaves. White men cannot compete. White people got mad about that. You understand? The white man makes his own mistake. He said we're superior. Now, blacks are going to try to make us equal when the white man himself is saying blacks are superior. You're going to find liberals get up and say, no, there's no difference between whites and blacks. How can we play better than them? We box better than them? We run faster? We jump higher than them? We sing better than them? We dance better than them? We move better than them? We spit better than them? And we care about each other more than they do. What am I going to tell me two animals are the same when one animal's out killing people, destroying people, spreading diseases, and another animal is being killed, being destroyed, and getting that disease? And then you're going to say they're the same? You can put a panther with a tiger will whip a panther to death. Go put him a cat. Oh, the panther's black. He may stand something like 3 feet off the ground. A tiger stands almost like 4 feet off the ground. The white man is like a leopard in the Bible. They describe him like a leopard in Revelation. We're like a panther, black and beautiful. If you think you can beat the white man, you're fooling yourself. Say it.
Okay. And about the veils with the Muslim women, why is that necessary from Adam and Eve?
Let's go back and find out, did it come from Muslim women, first of all? And Genesis says that it didn't come from us.
Refer to Genesis chapter 24, verse 65.
Genesis says it comes from the Jews or the Israelites, and Jesus got his teaching from the Israelites, so it came from y'all, not us. The thing is that the veil came out of the tribes of Judah. The word Judah is where they got the land Judea. The land Judea is where they got the word Jews. The veil did not come from Islam. Stop blaming it on us. These are laws that you people had, not us. Hirams did not come from us. Y'all had them. Abraham had 3 wives. Solomon had 200 wives. Stop trying to make the Prophet Muhammad responsible for some of your sins. These are things that you Christians and you Jews came up, and only because we obey the scriptures more than you do we follow them. Y'all just refuse to follow them. We do. So in your Bible, the veil comes from you. A harem, many wives, polygamy comes from you, not from us. You understand? And people are blaming us for your laws. Why do Muslims have so many wives? Why do Muslim women have to cover their faces? These are not Muslim laws. These are Hebraic laws. These are Judaic laws. These are Christian laws. And we want to ask y'all, why did y'all get us into this mess and get our women wearing the veils and get us with all these wives and then turn on us and ask us why we do it? That's the question that should be asked. Y'all got us doing it, and then y'all turn on us and ask us why we do it. We got it from you.
Okay.
We consider ourselves followers of Abraham. You got us mixed up with the Sunni Muslims. We consider ourselves Islamic Hebrews. We follow all the scriptures. We do. That's why we wear the veil. We don't wear the veil because it's enjoined in the Quran only. We wear the veil because it's the law of Abraham all the way down.
Okay. Okay.
Now, why don't you wear a veil if you follow the law of the scriptures?
Well... Good question.
Yeah, because it didn't come from us. I watched that program with Donahue the other day. You remember that? Did y'all see that program? I loved it. They was talking about the veil. Couldn't do nothing about it. They had a selected audience, a selected panel. The devil was so true, he had it all fixed up. Had some radical Muslims jumping up and down, acting crazy. Try to call through, thinking I had questions. They never let you through. They never let it in. I had no choice but to sit there and tolerate the devil manipulating us and playing that same old game.
Hello. That's my first time here. I want to ask you a question about where does the white man comes from? I mean, I looked on Channel 13, there was a a thing about the evolution of man, where man comes from the apes. But I know as a people that we will come from Allah. Allah made us from black mud.
The white man did come from an ape.
That's what I'm...
No problem. I got no problem. He is an ape. We're not. You know what he makes the mistake, brother? He says that they were cavemen, right?
Yeah, we're not from caves.
Let me make that clear. Then he said that you came from a monkey, correct?
Yes.
I asked them to show me what monkey lives in caves. Monkeys don't live in caves. Where they get that from? And they be elaborating on this in the university like it's something heavy. You know, a man came from the ape. You know, he was a caveman. But now, wait a minute. If you was an ape, then you lived in a tree. If you was a caveman, you lived in a cave. Now, he is a monkey who lives in a cave. However, there also are monkeys who live in trees. You understand?
Yes.
When he came down out of the tree, he went into the cave. This don't have nothing to do with us. The only part we played on this is we were watching them.
But we the one who taught them.
That's right. Abraham went up into the mountains and taught them.
Because an ape could not walk unless you saw someone walking.
That's right. We taught them everything they knew. We civilized them. Don't let anyone call you civilized. That's an insult. When a white man says the black man is civilized, he's insulting you. Because that means in order for you to be civilized, you must have been a barbaric or a savage, and you've been made civil. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are not civilized. We are civilizers. There's a difference.
You mentioned that when a bride should come to a groom, she should come in purity, meaning that she is a virgin. What about the man? Well, how is it that a man can have multiple wives?
First of all, as follows, a man doesn't have virginity because a man doesn't have a hymen that can be broken. The reason why virginity is ascribed to women and not men in the scriptures is because a woman has a hymen.
Okay.
All right, yeah, follow that.
But what does that have to do with purity?
I beg your pardon?
What does that have to do with purity?
Because the word they use in the scriptures in your translations for virginity, you will find in the 31st Proverbs, where Lamuel is getting instructed by his mother, and they make purity and virginity synonymous. When in reality, purification, tahara, in the scriptures, has nothing to do with virginity whatsoever. It has to do with the breaking of the hymen. That is bad translation that has done that. And as far as making polygamy lawful, polygamy is made lawful in the books of Leviticus when it speaks about a woman being unclean for 7 days when she is on her menstruation. A man has one wife, and he follows the books of Leviticus. And while that woman becomes unclean for 7 days, he has no one to cook or clean or take care of him. Thus, in Genesis, the prophet Abraham, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had what they referred to as a maidservant whose name was Hagar, who came from Egypt. And then when he found out that his wife Sarah was barren and couldn't have children, he went in unto this maidservant and made her his wife, you follow, and gave birth to the son Ishmael. The scripture, by the laws, are telling man that it is necessary to be polygamous. Now, in the Western world society, or in a community like our own, where we have certain laws set up, where women are provided for, the men are provided for, if your wife is unclean, someone else does the cooking, then it doesn't become necessary. But in any other society of Islamic or Judaic or true Christian practices, polygamy would be necessary. The Christians have no point of view whatsoever on marriage and divorce because the man who they ascribe to, Jesus the Messiah, never got married and didn't lay down laws on marriage, divorce, polygamy, cleanliness, etc. Because he spoke predominantly a spiritual doctrine, not a physical doctrine, assuming that his followers were followers of Moses, like he said in the books of St. John. The law came from Moses, but grace and truth came from him. So he assumed that they were following the laws of Moses, and in following the laws of Moses would be subject to follow the book of Leviticus, which has the law on polygamy in it. And he called them followers of Abraham, and being followers of Abraham, Abraham himself, as you know, had three wives, Sarah, Hagar, and Keturah. So therefore, Jesus expected his followers to follow Moses and Abraham. Moses had two wives, Abraham had three wives, and Solomon had 200 wives. So what happens in the Western world is people tend to ascribe or attribute polygamy to Islam, and that's not true. Polygamy did not start with the Muslim world, nor did harems, and nor did multiple wives living in all that, and the veil, the wearing of the face veil.
I'm really trying to find the woman's place.
The woman's place is in the 31st Proverbs in the Bible. If you read the 31st Proverbs, you'll get the whole story of a woman's place right there. Now, if you want to take the time to read it, it will tell you about the woman's place. As far as her dress code, you'll find it all the way from Genesis 38, where Rebecca has to pull a face veil over her face when she sees Isaac coming in the field. This is way before, thousands of years before the birth of our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what people are calling Islam today. And same thing applies to polygamy or more than one wife. This goes back to Abraham, goes back to Genesis thousands of years before Muhammad. So the laws of face covering, the laws on polygamy, more than one wife, are not founded in the Islamic religion as they call it today. It is founded in the Torah or an ancient Judaic and Hebraic teachings of which Jesus prescribed to. Okay? So Father, again, virginity is not based on washing. Virginity is based on a woman's hymen. The Almighty did not make mistakes. If he did, he wouldn't have saw Abraham as a man qualified to go down to the land of Sodom as a symbol of righteousness. You see, he chose Abraham to go down to the land of Sodom as a symbol of righteousness after Abraham already had a second wife named Hagar and a son. So the Almighty who chose him did not see anything about his polygamous system as unrighteous, because he still commanded Abraham to be a prophet after that, as well as Moses. Okay?
Okay. Yes, you know, if you just answer my question, I was wanted to ask you about the Canaanite woman, about how she became healed. And I know that all white people is the devil. How can the devil be healed?
Who healed her?
The white woman.
Who healed her?
Did Jesus heal?
No, he didn't. If you look at Matthew, he's talking about Matthew chapter 15, right?
Yeah.
Jesus didn't heal that woman. That woman healed herself. Jesus would not touch that woman.
How can the devil be healed?
Huh?
How can the devil be healed?
Because they're talking about her insanity and a possession of demons. In the Quran, they speak about the devil in two different forms. One is that he's a man, and one is that he's a jinn. So they can not only be a wicked person, they can go off and start becoming serial killers and massacring people. Don't you see the rash of demonology on television now?
Also, what you're saying, you just cool down?
No, the devil as a demon force can be exercised out of a white person. That will not stop them from being wicked by nature. Watch what the woman says. My daughter is what?
Grievously vexed with a devil.
Vexed means angry. She's acting unruly. So you got some white people who walk around and they say, good evening. There's a certain kind of devil. He says, all black people are not bad. There are some intelligent black people. I have a friend that's black. He's not a troublemaker. No, it's not true that all black people are drug addicts. All black people are not on welfare. No, some of them are trying to be good Americans. All these tricky statements. Then you got the other ones that says, burn the niggas. Burn all the niggas. And the Puerto Ricans with them. Burn them. And in the Chinese. Burn everybody who's not blocked. Get them all. That's another kind of demon. There are certain demons that are uncontrollable, and certain ones that walk up to you and pretend they're your friend.
With Adam in the garden in Eden, the serpent went not to Adam, but to Eve. Why was that? How could he go to Adam? And is that pertaining to today in this world's life when the devil deals with the black man, he might go around to his women?
That's right. It's very close. Same thing. You know why he wouldn't go to Adam? Huh? Because Adam had been informed. And who was it that the Almighty was speaking to when he told him not to go pay the tree? Adam was the one the Almighty spoke to from the beginning of Genesis, not to Eve. The devil knew they can go to the woman and get her quicker than get out of her. Just like the devil knows now, if he keeps giving black women jobs, making more money than you, that she will castrate you. He knows this. He's raising our woman up above us in every walk of the business. Are there more male groups out or more female groups now?
More female.
More male vocalists or more female?
Female.
What are all the clothes catering to now?
Female.
What are all the jobs opening up for now? You see what he's doing?
Yeah.
He is taking Eve again, and he is deceiving Eve by giving her the wealth. and she'll deliver Adam. He knows if he gets the woman, she'll deliver Adam. Black women are running out marrying white men. Because white men have the money. They say he'll take care of me. He'll take care of my kids. He'll see that my kids go to college. He'll see they have a future. Yeah, but that's only because the white man took everything from you. If you had it, you would have did the same thing. She can't see it that way. She has to see for tomorrow. That's all part of the devil's plan. So right now, he has a woman in front of the tree again, and he's doing it all over again.
Okay, and what's 144,000 in the Crystal City in the year 2000? What will be happening while they're in Crystal City? What will be going on Earth at that time? Or will there be an Earth?
Yes, there'll be an Earth. And that's what they call in the book in Revelation, tribulation period.
Okay.
That's what they're talking about when they say, number 9, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. That's the incident we talked about, Revelation chapter 9. It's that same angel with that same power, all right? Mm-hmm. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Remember, John is way back 2,000 years ago. This is the year 96 of the 2,000 years. And he's in prison and he's seeing a vision. In his vision, he sees an angel and a star. This star hits the earth and a gust of smoke comes out of the earth. He's looking at a bomb. He doesn't know what a bomb is. There was no bombs in his time. There was no airplanes in his time. There was no armies that he knew of in his time, other than armies that fought by chariots because he saw the Romans fight. All right? So watch how he goes on. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given the power of scorpions of the earth have power. He sees locusts after the smoke, and this big thing is the earth, which he calls a star, which calls this big gust of smoke from the bottom of the pit, which they all thought that hell was in the center of the earth back then. He said, now he sees locusts. What is unique about these locusts? It'll tell you. It says, and it was commanded them. These locusts were being commanded. Locusts do not get commanded. Locusts fly out of instinct, like any other insect. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither the green thing, neither any tree, but only men that have not the seal of Allah in their foreheads. You see that? These locusts were sent forth and given a command to destroy everybody on earth, not the trees. We're talking about a neutron bomb. A bomb that does not destroy houses and trees, but only living things, only human beings and animals and things like that. Is what he's talking about. He didn't know what a neutron bomb was. They didn't even have it back in the early 1914 when the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventist was being founded, so you won't find an understanding of it in any of their books. Because they didn't wait until the prophecy was fulfilled. Everybody launched forth with these new churches of lies. Where are we?
Chapter 4, verse 4.
4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Allah. Only those men who are not Abdullah. And don't think because a person calls themselves a Muslim that they have the seal. They don't. They have a seal on their heart. They are summun, bukmun, ummun. They're deaf, dumb, and blind. They are the ones that are perpetrators of the most confusion in Islam, the so-called Arab world, because they don't want to read all the scriptures. They don't want to dress in the white house. They want to live by the wrong laws. Watch them. They are the devil's children also. It says, and to them it was given, meaning the locusts, that they should not kill them, but that they should torment 5 months. That's the radiation fallout. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes the man. You know about a scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
When he strikes the man, a man goes into convulsions, he gets boils, he sweats, and he eventually dies. Just like radiation. But John did not know what radiation was, remember. He had explained things as he understood them. And in those days shall man seek death and shall not find it. He was telling us that that was future. In those days, not now. In those days, men are going to seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. When that bomb strikes on earth, now he's asking what happens. While 144,000 with the Lamb, under that on earth, this is happening. Armageddon is breaking loose. World wars are breaking loose. While they're being prepared to come forth and untangle all that mess. Number 7. and the shape of the locust, and this is a cue that these are not regular locusts, and the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for battle. These locusts do not fly in formation. You understand that?
Okay.
These hair locusts were flying like horses prepared to battle. They were lined up and flying in formation like jets. He's going to make it even clearer that he's talking about jets. It says, and on their heads was a crown like gold. He saw the light of the sun reflecting off their metal. And their faces were the faces of men. Because when you look at a plane in the front, it looked like it has two eyes and a mouth. He didn't know what he was looking at. And they had hair, the hair of women. And they had teeth. And the teeth were the teeth of lions, because the tiger fighters used to draw faces with teeth on their planes.
Okay, yeah.
So he saw this. He's looking at this sword. He's seen flying. They had metal on them. They were flying in formation. They were sending out stings upon the earth. And he was like, what is this? So he said, it must be locusts, because locusts were the thing in the Middle East they dreaded most. When locusts came, that was the end of all your crops. The locust was like the devil in the East. Number nine. And they had, here's the key. They had breastplates as it were of iron. That meant as it were, meant he was in doubt. Of iron. He saw locusts with breastplates on. No, he saw airplanes. The breastplates are iron. He's looking up and seeing metal locusts flying in formation, spitting out fire. You see that? And all this happened after a bomb hit the earth. This is a world war that's about to come right now. This was written before it happened. Where are we?
Nine. The sound of the winds was as the sound of chariots and many horses running into battle.
And when he heard the sounds of the wings of these locusts, they weren't like the buzzing sound of locusts. They sounded like the noise of chariots, which were the engines of planes, like the plane they call wings, or the concourse that makes so much noise they don't even want it to land. John didn't know what they were. He heard them sound like the wheels of a chariot running. And you know what that sounds like? The engines of a plane.
And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months.
Have you checked radiation fallout in 5 months? They saw things coming from, they saw these planes. You ever see the back of a plane, this thing is sticking up?
Yeah.
That's what they saw, was the tail of a scorpion. They didn't know what that was. Go ahead.
And they had a king over them.
Now these scorpions had a king. Come on. And who was the king that's over him?
Which is the angel of the bottomless pit.
Who is the angel of the bottomless pit? Iblis, who is the angel who was cast out of heaven, who battled against Michael. And he's the angel of the bottomless pit. Iblis, Satan, the dragon, the beast, which I read before. He was the one who was ruling over these locusts. They will give you names for him, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. Abba means father of doom, Abaddon. And Apollyon means the source of destruction in Greek. They gave you two names, Hebrew and Greek. That means that this book of Revelation was not revealed in Hebrew and Greek. Because if it was, then they wouldn't have to translate from Hebrew and Greek. You understand? If the book was in Hebrew and Greek, why am I giving you references to the two languages?
Right.
It must have been in another language, which is Arabic. Go ahead.
One woe was passed, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter.
We had the First World War, the Second World War, and now we're getting ready to go into the what?
The Third World.
He says, two of them are gone, y'all got one more coming, and that's the War of the Worlds. And y'all getting ready for that right now. Y'all not getting ready for it. Why it is, that's why they're snatching that money out the stock market now. And it's going to get way out of hand. And the out of countries are going to suffer, because they're too ignorant to see it, because they don't read the scriptures, they don't see the prophecies. They're going to suffer. They're going to go through famines and die, because they're not smart to see where to be. You know the best place to be when that happens?
Tabernacle the Most High.
Right in America.
You have been listening to The True Light, sponsored by the original Tents of Kedar, located at 717 Bushwick Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. You are also invited to attend the questions and answers class every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Hall of Knowledge at 548 Park Street in Brooklyn, New York. And now, more profound than ever before, the Pampas of Peace, offered by the master teacher and spiritual guide, Es Sayyid El Imam Isa El Hadi El Mahdi, covering such topics as who's who on the planet Earth, the resurrection, who was Nobuju Ali, Who was Jesus' father? Who was Marcus Garvey? St. Paul, disciple or deceiver, and much, much more. Also, to aid in your spiritual growth, we have a beautifully crafted hand-woven prayer rug designed by Es-Sayed El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi. We also have a large assortment of prayer beads, Nubian and Sufi oils, and incense. The original tents of Kedar would like for you to write or call us and let us know how the true light has changed your life. Remember, above all things, truth is truth.
الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
That was the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq, originally revealed to the Prophet Muhammad as the first chapter. It is today recorded as the 96th. As translated by Es-Sayed El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi, it reads as follows. O seal of the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, by the supreme sovereignty of your sustainer and creator, you are being ordered to read, by beginning with the name of your illustrious sustainer, who is the creator of all things. He, Allah, created all human beings of a self-separating. So read, because your sustainer is most generous. He, Allah, taught human beings what they would have never known.
This is from the 56th of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse. And read, also stay a complete for us our life. And forgive us, for surely you have the power over all things.
Listening to The True Light with Es-Sayed El-Imam Isa El-Hadi El-Mahdi.
in a live question and answer session.
The Jesus Christ spoken of in the Bible, is this the Jesus Christ that we to look for in the end of the world, the one that's coming back?
First of all, let's establish the word Christ. We have to start saying Messiah. You have a Bible with you?
No, I don't.
It's important when you come, you bring your tools. If you open the Bible to St. John's chapter 1, verse 41, he first finds his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. You see that?
Yes.
Now, what did that mean? That means that these people who were Jesus' disciples, and Christians use this chapter to death. They use this St. John's chapter 1 to death. That Jesus' own disciples knew that he should have been called the Messiah and not Christos from the Latin. You follow? So now,
yes
is the answer to your question, and no. Revelation 1 tells us that the Jesus that they're expecting to come will be like him, not him. Revelation chapter 1 reads, the revelations of Jesus the Messiah, and as you see, they have Christ, which the Creator, which they have is God, gave unto him. Gave unto who? To Jesus. Right?
That's right.
Show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now the first point is that with this teaching, Jesus is talking about his servants. Jesus told a woman in Matthew 15, the story when Jesus is dealing with the Canaanite woman, he told her he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. So his servants would have to be the tribe of Judah, the lost sheep. But he was talking to all the rest of them. You see? Now, to show unto his servants which must shortly come to pass, which means there's going to be a future tense here. Things that did not happen during his life, but things that was going to happen in the future. Now here's the catch. And he did what? He sent it and signified it by his, who? His angel unto his servant John. Right?
All right, brother.
So what happened here, and Christians tend to overlook, is that the revelation of Jesus, the Messiah, which the Lord gave unto him for his servant, Jesus sent it, signifying it with an angel unto John. This angel that Jesus sent it, signifying it by, was none other than the angel Michael, who has a power throughout the book of Revelations. Like if you go to Revelation chapter 12, he has the power to defeat Satan. Chapter 12, 7 of Revelation, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. You see that?
Yes, I see it.
And the dragon fought and his angels. So here we have Michael and some angels of his who are fighting against this dragon and his angels. Who is the dragon and who are his angels? Well, 8 says, and prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So that means that these dragons and his angels was cast out of heaven at this point. And the great dragon was cast out. That old what? Serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You see that?
Yes, I see it.
So Michael was an angel who was back there in the beginning. However, when these people deal with St. John chapter 1, and we go back to St. John chapter 1, and start from the beginning, we're going to see this beginning story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with the Creator, and the Word was the Creator. The same was in the beginning with the Creator. You see? The angel Michael was back there in the beginning. And one of the angels of Michael was the angel Gabriel, who was also back there in the beginning, who fought against Lucifer and his fallen angels. And the angel Gabriel was the angel sent to Mary to tell her that she was going to conceive of the Holy Ghost, which would be Jesus, the Messiah. What people are looking for in the return of Jesus is the return of Jesus sending forth an angel in his likeness. And people will mistake the angel for Jesus. You follow that?
Yes, I do, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm somewhat confused, but this is Exodus I'm looking at, and there's a conversation between the Lord and Moses.
Where are we at in Exodus?
I'm in Exodus 3, the 13th verse. There's a long conversation between Moses and the Lord. It's God, the Lord. The 13 says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. I better let that go at that. Like I said, I'm a little confused.
What? Tell me what confuses you.
Pardon me?
What part of it is confusing you?
Well, I'm not a scholar in scripture.
Yeah, I understand.
Or in religion.
Yes.
So I just thought that I would ask the question, since you spoke of Minister Farrakhan, and he said that God, the original man, is the black man, so that would mean that black man is God. And when I look in the Bible, I've searched God just about all my life, whether he was black, Caucasian, or whatever.
So the question is, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, right, when I come unto the children of Israel,
yes,
and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?
Go ahead.
And God said unto Moses, I am that I am.
Yes, correct.
All right, what is the question? And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me.
All right. So now, the God who said back then to Moses was a man. Am I right?
No.
The Lord?
No.
Who was speaking this was not a man?
No.
Okay, so maybe...
You know how you find out?
Okay, maybe you could explain.
Yeah, go back to the beginning of Exodus 3.
Okay.
You see beginning of Exodus 3?
Where are you?
Exodus 3.
Now Moses?
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro.
Yes.
His father-in-law. This was in the land of Midian, right?
Yes.
And the priest of Midian. And he led his flock where? To the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even in Horeb.
Right. Is that Horeb? Is that
That's a place.
That's a place?
That's a specific spot on a mountain where Moses received revelation.
Where is that?
It's in Sinai. But let's go on so we can hear what happens.
Okay.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame. Now, who appeared to Moses? According to
The angel of the Lord, sir.
That's right. And the angel of the Lord was speaking out of the burning bush.
Okay.
The point I'm trying to make is many times in the scriptures, when it speaks of the Creator doing a specific thing, it always, if people will just read, shows you that the angels of him is doing, the malaik of Allah Ta'ala does his work.
Right, and they were men.
And they can personify as men,
okay,
certain ones. But they are angelic beings, malaik. They have the power, if Allah grants, to personify as human beings. They are what you refer to when they get into the Earth's atmosphere as extraterrestrials.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
They reside in various pockets of the universe. They come from what's called the Crystal City, which goes into a deeper thing. All right? So this quote in the Bible, when it's talking to Moses, speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's through his angel, either Mikael or Jibrael. In this case, it's Jibrael. Those are the most powerful angels, the highest of all of the angelic beings from Malachut is Mikael. Because Mikael, means like El, and that's from Elohim or Elohim or Allah. He's like Allah insofar as he has the power to sustain himself on earth. He came to Abraham, he in the Torah, in Genesis. He came to Jesus, he came to Moses, he came to Muhammad. He has Khidr in the Holy Quran. He has Mikael, and he's called Melchizedek or El Khidr, Michael, okay? And then he has an intergalactical name, and his intergalactical name is Ya'anun. Every one of the prophets, when they are out of the physical and into the spiritual realm, has an intergalactical name. Isa's name is Sananda when he's out of this. You understand?
Yes, my Lord.
So we're talking about angels who can personify in human beings as human beings and speak in representation of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay?
Yes, I hope
you understand it.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Assalamu alaikum. Imam, did you meet Melchizedek at the junction of the two Niles, like the Mahdi?
At the time when I was being brought to the consciousness of who and what I am, I met him at Tuti. Not knowing at the time who he was. I just thought he was an old man. And he told me that this thing, and he said, if you have the sewer of answers, think, and I'll be there. I never knew at the time he meant that he was going to be in me moving outward. I thought he meant that if you need me, contact me. Just like you would. If you need me, contact me, and I'll let you know. I didn't know that young in my life who or what I am. It took me until I was 40 years old to realize that I was speaking to a reflection of myself. I had no idea.
Thank you.
What purpose does the sacred ash serve in paradise?
The sacred ash serves no purpose in what you know as paradise, but in the celestial or crystal city, there is incense that burns, and the ash from the incense can be transported down to earth plane as a sign that this person is in tune with that higher city. There's a city above the earth called the Crystal City, which sometimes is mistaken for the mothership. The mothership, or the ship that has the little ships in it, come out of the Crystal City. Crystal City is right above the earth and has been there for centuries. And it's a whole city. You call it the city of Jerusalem when you say it's going to come down out of heaven, etc. So there's incense burning there, material incense as you know it, right? And ashes from that incense is what comes down as what you call the sacred ash, okay?
Yes.
I have one question here. What kind of battle will take place with Michael and Satan, and where will it take place?
Question is, what kind of battle will take place with Mikael and Shaitan? Or which kind did take place? Because remember, they had a battle already in the heavens, in Malachut. And he was cast down, okay?
Well, the question is, what kind of battle will take place?
In the latter day.
Yeah.
And this is understood, that you have read throughout your scripture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to get not less than and not more than 144,000 mu'minun wa mu'minati to be ready to be taken up in an Isra like Rasulullah was, to be taken out of here before this wind, the four winds of the earth are let loose for destruction on the planet earth, because Shaitan is getting a grip of the planet. He's asking for not more than and not less than 144,000 that will be taken up. Taken up, it says in the scripture, literally, taken up and taken to the crystal city, Alurat, taken right to the Medina, and there they'll stay for 1,000 years and be groomed by the elders. Shaitan and his wicked angels, the cherubim, are going to try to come into that city to destroy that city and those special people taken from earth that will be gowned in white. Him and his cherubim are going to try to take the city of the seraphim. You understand?
Yeah.
But they will be trapped. They will be baited like the story of Job. And then you will be cast into the earth because you have a central city in the center of your earth. I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. You have a central sun. There's a city in the center of the earth called Aghrata. And the capital of the city is called Shambhala. And the temple where they keep Satan trapped with that hexagram is called Wahala. He likes Muslims to rise a pentagram, which is a five-pointed star, because he can be trapped in the hexagram. In the six-pointed star, you can trap Satan. He'll be kept in that city for a period of time. The so-called meridian, as they call it, the thousand-year period, that 144,000 will be kept in the celestial or crystal city to be groomed to get their godlike or divine qualities back in them before they descend back to earth with the Lamb, which will be the angel Michael, who will bring them back to earth. You see, Shaitan, like it mentions in Revelation, is going to try to get up to that new city of peace and try to destroy that abode. That abode is called Darul Islam in the Quran, the abode of peace. It's not on earth. And in it are angels, they say in the Quran. Hariyah. Those are seraphim and the masters, the awalina, the Quran says, the ancient ones. They are there to teach and try to get you prepared to come back in, because you have to wipe away this earth and wipe away this heaven and bring in a new heaven and a new earth. So the battle will be fought because Satan is going to try to invade that very city, the crystal city, but shall be cast into the pit of the earth and down into the center of the planet. Like I said, there's a city. Inhabitants of the city are from Mu and Lemuria. They're from Atlantis. They're from the Mayan people, different people who were dealt by extraterrestrials or angelic beings and were taken into these cities. And they're there now, and the devil knows about it. And they would not even be on earth had it not been for 1945, when you people dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and it frightened the Galactical Brothers. Because you almost cracked the earth. So the elders had a meeting and came to the surface. You call them angels. Call them what you feel like. Came to the surface and said, we got to prevent the serpent seed. We call them the serpent person. The serpent and his seed from destroying you before you are ready. Before you are prepared. Before you are transformed back into a spiritual being. We got to stop him from destroying. The other night when they saw that green light, and he said it was a meteorite. No, better yet, I think it was a meteorite. It wasn't a meteorite. I told y'all the ships are coming. I told you they're here. He didn't say it was a meteorite. There ain't no such thing as a green meteorite. Go back and study astronomy and show me somewhere where he told you about a green meteorite. He tells you about pink stars, blue stars, and white stars. He never spoke about no green star. Or no green meteorite. And what kind of gas burns green? They burn blue, they burn yellow, they burn amber, but not green. Somebody's lying. So the battle that you spoke about between the elders is between those being prepared, the seraphim under Mikael, to suppress the cherubim, which is the 200 fallen angels, and you people on earth who are left behind because you don't come in and get prepared to make the transition from this state to the sacred city. you're going to be the playground of the devil. Do you know that the planet Earth used to be a hunting ground? That the cherubim used to come here and hunt prehistoric animals to laser lights and kill them just for the fun of it? You have not only positive angelic beings visiting the planet Arden. Your galaxy is called Terra. It's called Terra. All right? That's the galaxy you're in. Your on was called Zorukaya. Zorukaya, the name of your planet. All right? You have extraterrestrials. They become extra when they get inside here. Visiting you, all of them are not positive. Some of them are called jinn. From the Ifrit mentioned in the Quran, Solomon had big battles with these jinns who would come in and land here, and they infiltrate man and corrupt the world. They mutilate animals. They come down and they mutilate animals. They hunt for the fun of it. They make themselves seen as UFOs, and they hunt. They take people up. They abuse people. And then there are other galactical beings who are fighting against them, trying to get you people prepared, but you keep rejecting. You want all this fiction religion. You want to believe that Muhammad came with this new type of religion. When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in contact with extraterrestrials, when the angel Jibrael, salam alaikum rahmatullah, came to the Prophet Muhammad in a cave, he came as light. He came as an Ethiopian, an ether being. And he came to Rasulullah Muhammad as light and told Muhammad that man has fell away from the most important commandment. Who created him and when? So he told Muhammad, you better go back and ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa. Go back and read in the name of this very creator. You follow? But man refuses. Man rejects. He's been tempted by the devil. And the devil and his seed is here, like I explained earlier, and man loves it. And like it says in the Bible in Revelation, he wants to even live in the image of the beast.
I would like to know, why was the devil sent to another planet? Well, two questions. Why was the devil sent to another planet? And also, why is he captured? Why do they have to catch him and take him to Shambhala and bound him for 1,000 years instead of just destroying him?
Because energy cannot be destroyed. You can only alter its appearance. And what a lot of human beings don't realize is that what they call the devil was once an angel, Malak. And he was created of Nar, a Simur, or a poisonous type of fire. It's not the same fire as you find on Earth, but it's, for lack of a better word, that's all they can use. And you cannot destroy energy. You can only alter its appearance. Or you can refrain it. You can discipline it. You can confine it. Or you can channel it. Now, nowhere has it been said that he was sent to another planet. It was said that he has left this planet and has gone on to another planet. It has not been sent. You don't send the devil anywhere. You have to trap him. And he's trapped by what's called the hexagon, which is the symbol of the six-pointed star. Muslims all over the world, I shouldn't say that because most Muslims out of America don't use it. Mainly you find American Muslims who use a five-pointed star and crescent. Don't realize that it's a symbol of the devil. They think that the five-pointed star and crescent is a symbol of Islam because Elijah Muhammad, or because Noble Drew Ali, or because some other brother told him that, and those brothers were misinformed about the symbol of al-Islam, which is confirmed by the fact that in Holy Quran, it tells us that all of the prophets of Allah were from Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on back to Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah, on back to Moses, and all the way back to Abraham, all were of one text, one scripture, be it a suhuf, or a hikmah, or Torah, or Zabur, or Injil, or Al-Quran. They are all one scripture from one sustainer of all the boundless universes, who is Allah Ta'ala. You understand?
Yes.
Therewith, then Dawud,
David, who received the Psalms, was a Muslim, as the Quran confirms.
Yes.
And the five-pointed star is not identified with any of the prophets of Allah in any of the scriptures, including the Holy Quran. There's no mention of a use of a five-pointed star by Muslims. However, it is understood through the Torah and mentioned the utilization of the six-pointed star, the hexagram, that Solomon used to trap the jinn the Quran speaks of. You see? So he builds his empire on a pentagram. Or when he takes a country, he puts a new five-pointed star on his flag. The eye you see on the back of the dollar bill over the pyramid is a symbol of Nimrod. You see. They knew that the elders used to use the pyramids to travel intergalactically. They knew that. They know how all the pyramids are hooked up magnetically a perfect distance apart. They know that what you refer to as a Bermuda Triangle is really a pyramid sending up magnetic waves. They know these things. And they put the eye of Nimrod there. And that is their God. That's the one that was crucified. That's who was born December 25th. Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Where did they get this snow in Jerusalem stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, they made it up. Because they were talking about in the Caucasus Mountain where
Bethlehem,
there's snow.
There.
Not in Bethlehem. You see? All right?
Thank you very much.
Well, Nana, I'd like to ask you, the Universal Brotherhood of Muslims, in our book, Adam's Calendar, is that the same brotherhood that you were speaking about previously?
The Brotherhood of the Elders?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Brotherhood of the Elders are called the Brotherhoods of Peace. Darul Islam is one of the names of the Crystal City. Right? If you open the book of Revelation to the seventh chapter, you see it?
Yes.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. These are the four ships. Holding the what?
Four winds.
Holding the four winds of the earth that what?
That shall not blow on the earth.
That's right. Nor on any tree. Go ahead.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, creator. And he cried with a loud voice to four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our creator in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
But notice what tribe they start off with. Number five. Many people say to me, is this Israel? And I say, no. Here's why. But they don't start off with the first son of Israel. They start off with?
Judah.
And of Judah.
And of Judah were sealed 12,000.
Then they add, when you get to the seventh chapter, they add Levi. You see? And Levi was not one of the tribes. That was a priest tribe. They add Manasseh, the son of Joseph. You follow?
Yeah.
So it's not talking about the tribes of Israel. It's talking about people like the tribes of Israel. Now, in Haggai, you know, flip after the tribes and read 9.
After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands.
This is after the 1,000-year period, when the righteous come forth, after the 144,000 have been groomed in the city, in heaven, as you call it. Then our people will come together and look up, all of them. And what's going to happen? Read 10.
And cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Creator, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb.
That throne they're talking about is the sacred city. Go ahead.
And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped Allah, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory.
Amen, meaning it's over. Amen, it's over. Go ahead.
Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be on and might be on to our Creator forever and ever. Amen.
No more devil power at this point. Go ahead.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes?
We want to know about you people. The elders asked, Who the heck are they? They're not angels. Who are they? And what's the answer?
And whence came they?
Where they come from? How they get into the sacred city? Who are they?
And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Allah, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. I shall lead them into living fountains of water.
That's called Kothar, fountains of water in paradise.
And Allah shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
This is what you're working for. The world, the destruction of this planet has been held back for you. Those people will get the seal of the Father in their head by consequence of prostration. Not those who will get the seal of the priest in their forehead or in their hand. But they'll tell you, how will they gown themselves? What did the master say they look like? In number 9?
Gowned in white.
White robes. They know who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. They're waiting for you. You understand that?
No.
And they'll take you to the throne where you sit in the midst of the righteous. And the very presence of the Most High will be there. You feel His presence in the land. And there'll be no more devil reign or devil power. It'll be over. This is what you're working for. Most people don't want to get there. All right?
You have been listening to The True Light, a question and answer session with Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Do you want to know the truth? Can you face the truth? Be sure to read the most dynamic books in history, authored by Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, on such subjects as, What is a Muslim? Where is the tabernacle of the Most High? Should Muslims observe the Sabbath? Was Christ really crucified? Who was the Comforter? Now let us return to the true light with Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Okay, in Exodus 34:33, I read, until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. I was wondering, what's the purpose of this veil, and if the veil will always be necessary for women to wear, and was it always necessary for women to wear? Because, like in Egyptian art, I never see that. With women wearing the veil.
Why? You know why?
No.
What language are you reading?
Hmm?
What language are you reading the dictionary in?
English.
And who mostly wrote them?
Pardon me?
And who are usually the writers of those dictionaries in English?
English people.
Or Americans.
Americans.
And they're not going to have y'all reading the Bible where it says a woman should wear a veil, because then, see, let's look at this. Somewhere along the line, the Catholic Church tends to relate to the way Muslim women dress, all the way up until they covering their face. But somewhere along the line, in their doctrine of the Catholic Church, which is supposed to be the oldest church of the Christians, they seem to understood years ago that a woman's supposed to stay covered, head and everything. That's why they had the nuns dressed that way. Then another thing, inside of a Christian marriage, we have what? When you get ready to marry, what does a woman put on?
White.
Long white dress and a
veil.
Veil.
If she doesn't wear white, that means she's not a virtuous woman like the 31st Proverbs. That means she gave up her virginity before she got married. Okay? So therefore, she would not wear a veil or a white robe. She could wear any color. Right? But they're telling you by that the long white dress and the veil is a symbol of purity. Next question is, did I make this up? But first, let me ask you a question. The reason why Moses had a veil is because Moses' brother, Harun, which we know as Aaron, was sanctioned by the Heavenly Father to become the high priest over all the children of Israel. And if you look up in any biblical dictionary at the dress of them, the so-called ancient rabbis, you see a tiflin. A tiflin is much like a shawl that they wore over their heads. If you see any Jews in their churches or synagogues today, you'll see the same thing. They wear it over their heads and it comes down past and has little lines of blue and little tassels on it. You know what I'm saying? That has been the garb of the ancient Israelites for centuries. So when Moses had finished talking to the children of Israel, he took his shawl and threw it over his shoulder, which would be covering his face, or like you see an Arab sometimes from the desert, and they were definitely in the desert, take the shawl and wrap it around his face and turn and walk away. You've seen that before, right? This has nothing to do with the Bible veil. The Bible veil, let's go back to Genesis, chapter 3, verse 7. And if we read it, we'll see. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's not there. That just means begin all things with the illustrious name of Allah, the Yielder, the Most Merciful. And their eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And what did they do?
Sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons.
Made an apron. They did not make a full garb. They made a short thing, an apron. An apron is something that does not go beyond the knee or above the breast. Now move to the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 21, and watch the Heavenly Father let her know that a short dress is improper dress. The garb of the veil is something that the Almighty Creator of the heaven and earth is going to make them put on. Watch it. Turn and read that.
24, you said?
No, chapter 3, verse 21.
Oh. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. I understand that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we see that they had taken upon themselves to dress a specific way, which was identified as an apron, partial, and then the Almighty made them coats of skin. A cloak is a total cover. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
And cover them. So the veil started way back with Adam and Eve, had nothing to do with Rasulullah Muhammad and the sections of the Holy Quran which identify with it. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But people have this tendency of trying to make people think that the wearing of the veil started in Islam and started with the Arab people and was a custom. And they are lying because it's not where it started. If you turn to Genesis 24, verse 64.
64?
Yep,
24:64
of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see where Rebecca, we'll read it and see what we come up with.
And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the candle. Camel.
Off the camel.
For she had said unto the servant, what man is that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master.
So what did she do?
Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we're talking about Rebecca. Way back in the Old Testament, during Abraham's time, this Rebecca was to become Isaac, one of Abraham's son's wife. Now, she belonged to the family of Abraham, to his brother. And when she saw Isaac, which is one of her relatives, which they married back then, coming through the field, she knew he was a strange man to her. So what did she do?
She covered herself.
She covered her face. Now, to verify that the children of Israel did wear those veils, if you see in Isaiah 3, 18 to 23, it'll tell you also that all the Israelites at one time were a veil. But because they transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their veils and their tassels and their earrings and their nose rings was taken away. Now you read it, it says what? In the day the Lord will take away the bravery of thy tinkling ornaments about thy feet and their curls and their round ties. Like the moon, I mean their crescents, their chains, their bracelets, and their mufflers, and their bonnets, their headpieces, the children of Israel took them off, and the ornaments of their legs. Now you see the Jewish people wearing short skirts, and their headbands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the tablets, they don't read the scriptures no more, and their earrings, and their nose rings, and what else? And changeable suits of apparel, and a mantle. And the what?
Wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veil.
And the last thing they took away from Israel was the?
The veil.
See, they stripped them because they transgressed against the Most High. The children of Israel have lost the right to wear all the stuff you see those guys on 42nd dressing. Stand down there with all that stuff on. Right here in Isaiah tells them they can't wear that no more. And the so-called Amorite Jew, the so-called Hasidic Jew, he knows that. His women wear a wig with a bald head. They don't wear the gloves no more. They don't wear the white. They don't wear the nose ring. They don't wear none of it. The only thing they retain the right to wear is the locks and the beard. And they've changed the color of their clothes from white to black, knowing that throughout Israel they wore shining white. Says it. You follow?
Yeah.
Now, if we go to the Holy Quran, which we should seal this with, the 24th chapter, the 31st verse, and read it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, 24:31. It says, and tell the faithful women that they are to lower their looks, their eyes, and guard their private parts, and don't display their bodily ornaments except what appears thereof, and make them wear their face veils over and down their bosoms. In their translations, they have cut all of that up. As you read yours and see what it says.
From the beginning.
Yes, please.
And say to the believing women that they cast down their looks and guard their private parts and do not display their ornaments except what appears thereof, and let them wear their head coverings over their bosoms.
See how they did that?
Yeah.
They took out words. And out of it we get wa and kun, say or tell lil mu'minat, those faithful women. You see that? Yaghdudna, that they are to Dudna, be pious. Lower their eyes. Don't be staring men in the eyes seductively is what it means. Lower men of a Sarahina. Lower their sight. Don't be lustful and aggressive towards men other than your own man, of course. Alright? Well, Yafazna. That word is from El Hafisu, which means and they are to protect or guard Furuja Hunna. All of their private parts, that's their bust, their vaginal, their shape to their body, their voluptuousness, is supposed to be something sacred and it should be protected. That word there is
furujahunna. You see it? Wala and do not, wa and la don't, wala and do not, yubdin. Don't make scene, don't display, don't allow, don't let it be seen. What? The nadahunna. Any of their bodily appearance, which means not only are they supposed to wear loose garments, but they're not supposed to let things be seen like a slit down the front where you can see what they refer to as the shapes of their bust, or stuff so tight that you can see, you know, it, not only don't show your body outright, but don't even let the, what do you call it in English? The image of it be seen, the shape. You know, like in other words, a person could be standing in front of you naked, or a person could be standing there with clothes on and so tight she might as well be naked. He's saying don't do either one of those things. All right? Illa, except for ma, what zahar, what already appears, which is necessary, which means except for what appears, your hands and your feet. Those things, minha, except for what appears, right, they say, zahara minha, except for what appears naturally, in other words. All right?
I don't see them.
That's because they have it as, except for what, how do they read it there?
Here it says, except to their husbands or their fathers.
That's because they added husbands and fathers. The word husband, you know, zowage, and fathers, Abu, or is not even in there. They just added that in to imply that you can, around your immediate family, you can expose your body. That's what it meant. But it's not in there, literally. They just put that in so they can convey their point.
Okay.
Then it goes, well, yadribi, right? Mm-hmm. And that you should be forced to darraba. See that? Darraba is the Arabic word to hit or to strike, to hit somebody. And you should make it hit. Now, what are we talking about? There's a whole subject of the whole thing. Be humari hina. Hina on the end is hers. The word khimar means a face veil, but the root of it means a covering, khumra, to be covered or blocked or screened away. In the Holy Quran, in the 42nd chapter and the 51st verse, when Allah says, and Allah did not talk to normal human beings except by way of inspiration or from behind a barrier. And in Arabic, they got hijab there. Hijab, the Sunni Muslims say, that veil is not that. A hijab in the outer world is a screen or a curtain or something of that nature. This thing we're talking about is called khimar or khumra. When they say a person is intoxicated, they say he's drunk khumra, something that has blocked his mind to the point where he can't function. So there they have veils, meaning now something is comes over, hit your bosom and down and cover your face. It has got to cover your whole face. No such thing as partial. You see, if it comes over your head and down and hits your bosom, as it's going to say here, because it says ala, over, the next word, over, or they say on, right? To yubihina, their bosoms, their breasts, their things, saying come over, down, and strike their bosoms. They are evading this reality. But yet, when you look in the Far East, you see the women of the desert who have not been educated or indoctrinated by Western world still wearing. The Bush women still wearing. You can get any magazine from Geographic and fumble through it, and you see they say, this is Algeria. In the desert, you see those women with their veil on. When a man pointing the camera, you see them trying to cover their face, just like we showed you in the books of Genesis. So the dress of face covering is a law that was given to us at Adam and Eve's time, not with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not with the Prophet Abraham sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Moses, but all of them had to live by it. In fact, even Mary, when the angel appeared to her, she pulled her covering over her. And he said, Hail Mary, thou hast been chosen above women in the world. She saw an angel as a man and covered herself from him also, screened herself, as they say. Okay? That veil is a law. There's no getting around it.
Okay.
You have been listening to The True Light, a question and answer session with Saeed Elimamisa El-Hadi El-Mahdi. If you would like a cassette copy of this week's True Light broadcast, send $5 to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Now let us return to The True Light with Saeed Al-Imam Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
The known fact in Islam, the angel Gabriel, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, came to Rasulullah Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the cave, and said to Muhammad, Iqra. Wa Muhammad, وقال يا جبريل ما أنا بقاريا وجبريل وقال إذن محمد اقرأ ومحمد قال مرة ثانية يا جبريل ما أنا بقاريا he said محمد read he said جبريل I am not a reader محمد read he said جبريل I am not a reader What is he asking this man? What is this extraterrestrial being asking of this man?
Read.
A very simple statement, right? What is Muhammad saying?
I'm not a reader.
What does he mean he's not a reader?
He does not know how to read.
That's right. Of my own, I cannot do anything. So the angel says to him, which is now the 96th chapter of the Holy Quran. And it's going to be mathematically equated in a way that's unbelievable. Alayha tisata ashara. Over it is 19. Jibril says to Rasulullah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Begin all things in the illustrious name of Allah. He is the yielder, the most merciful. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read by way of using the name of Rabbika, your sustainer, Alladhi hu khalaqa, who created. Khalaqa al-insana min alaq. He created all forgetful creatures, insan, people, man, min alaq, from sperm rushing forth and dividing up. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. And read like this, Muhammad, by way of your sustainer, who is Karam, who is so generous, Alladhi alama bil qalam, he is which has alama taught bil qalam by using a quilt or a pen, alama linsana ma lam ya'lam, he it is who has taught you forgetful creatures what you could not on your own have learned. Those are the first five verses of the revelation that came to Rasulullah. He put the words in his mouth so that Muhammad would not speak of himself. He made sure that Muhammad just repeated exactly what was being said. So he had no opinions. And Muhammad oftentimes said, I can't say nothing that has not come from Allah Ta'ala throughout the Quran. Most Muslims translate the word Iqra as recite. Proclaim. The word Iqra means read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. How do you know? You know because by the time it gets down to the fourth verse, it tells you. Alladhi alama bil qalam, which taught by way of a pen. What do? When something is written with a pen, you read it. You don't recite it. You recite from your head. You orate from your heart. You read from something written. But all these Sunnis keep saying, no, it means recite. That's the devil leading them away from the true meaning. Because they don't want them to know that Muhammad was asked to read the Torah and the Injil before he revealed this Quran. And the Holy Quran in the second chapter supports that to the letter when we get to Surah Al-Baqarah, when it tells you about what was sent down to you, Muhammad, and what was sent down from before you, Muhammad, when it says in the fourth
verse of the second chapter. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَالَّذِينَ And those who يُؤْمِنُونَ they believe بِمَا by way of أُنزِلَ What was sent down إِلَيْكَ to you, Muhammad وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ And what was sent down before you, Muhammad Yet you are Muslims all across this country being taught and misinformed by Muslims from overseas who are trying to confuse them into not accepting all of the scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This scripture tells you that this is plain and true, that these verses are clear, and it's telling them right there to watch out for translations and distortions of the Quran. Because it says like in the 12th chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Yusuf. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka al-ayatul kitabu mubin. You see that? Alif Lam Ra. Alif. Symbol of Allah Ta'ala, Lam, Laylatul Qadri, the night in which he revealed the revelations to Ra, Ar-Rasulullah, Muhammad, Alif Lam Ra. Tilka, that, not this, Tilka, that verse, that sign, Tilka Ayatu, that sign, Al-Kitabu Mubin. The scripture, it is Mubin, manifests things and makes them clear. Inna anzalnahu. Surely we, Allah and the help of his angelic hosts, did what? Anzalnahu. Sent it, the Quran. Anzalnahu. And Arabian La'allakum. We have sent it, this Quran, as an Arabic reading in order for you to be able to make proper decisions. Ta'kilun. To be able to understand. But it told you right there, right here in the 12th chapter of the Holy Quran in the first two verses that we sent it down for you in Arabic so that you'd understand. And I keep telling you, go to your imam and ask him, do you speak Arabic? Do you understand the language of the scripture or are you just talking off the top of your head?
خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم
ربنا من لنا نورنا وأكبرنا إنك على كل شيء قدير. This is from the 66th surah of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse, and reads, O sustainer complete for us our light, and forgive us, for surely you have the power over all things.
You have been listening to the unshakable guidance and teachings of our Sayyid.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الوالي الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness? That nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part.
and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Radio.